morning. Very good, our regular preacher, not here today. I guess I'm actually not here, regular preacher. I'm glad to have the opportunity to be with you today. We have visitors today, we're so proud to have you with us, jump you back to every opportunity. There's a few special visitors, special to me, that is our neighbors. And they told me that I was pretty speaking, so they come out to see what kind of job I can do today. I'm very encouraged by you, thank you all for coming, I appreciate that very much. I don't know, but as a child, perhaps you were given a choice of punishment. Maybe they said, now we can give you a spanking, which is frowned on today, but that was used quite frequently when I was growing up. Or maybe they put you in timeout. Now timeout when I was growing up was, go over and sit down as you think about what you've been doing. How long do I have to sit there? Well, I tell you to get up. That was timeout when I was growing up. And of course there was the third thing, that is the dread talking. It usually began with, I'm so disappointed in you. Now, if I was given a choice, I'd say A or B. Definitely not C. Never in C because I don't like that talking to me. Just go ahead and give me a ribbon. My mother once had me go out back and cut a peach tree limb for my own spanking. I don't think that's the right kind of thing to do. Real unusual punishment. But see, I was in psychology way back then. So I cut this big old peach tree limb that she'd cut me with, whipped me with, it would have just beaten me to death. And of course, she was smarter than I was. She told me to put that limb down and go get one she could use to whip me with. I don't know what I did, but I do know there was no surprise what was coming. I knew I would get a whipping, and the peach tree was not that unusual. I want to talk to you about consequences and choosing your consequences. Now, I don't know. Maybe that sounds weird to you, because we can choose our choices, but can we choose the consequence that comes about as a result of that? In an article about unintended consequences in 2005, Turning Point Day Devotion, talked about a man that intended to steal gas from a mobile home. Now, he siphoned that. I don't know if you've ever siphoned or not. I did a little bit of that when I was growing up. They explained some things to you. When you siphon, you stick a hose in the gas tank and you suck on it. And when you get a mouthful of gas, you know you got flow coming, you stick it over in the bucket you got and you fill it up with gas. And so this guy was doing that. He was siphoning the gas out, and all of a sudden, well, the police showed up. And when the police showed up, he was laying on the ground writhing in pain because, you see, he got the wrong tank. It wasn't the gas, it was the discharge. And the owner didn't even press charges. He was too busy laughing. And you know, when you start out to do something like that, you all know there's going to be some consequences to it. There's supposed to be. When we do things we ought not to do, there's supposed to be consequences, and they may be unintended, but there are consequences. Sometimes consequences are foretold. We're told what's going to happen. If you do that, my daddy told me that. If you do that, then this is going to happen. It always did. And that's the way things are in our lives. Sometimes we have unintended consequences. Sometimes we have foretold or known consequences. Sometimes our consequences are eternal. We have different things that come about as a result of the consequences. I will start out talking about some natural consequences. Natural. 2 Samuel 24:12, I'm using as a text for our lesson this morning. David is presented with some choices. He's choosing his consequence. David has numbered the people of Israel, and that was wrong. We're not told exactly the scripture where God said, don't do it. But apparently the idea was he wouldn't know how many men he had, so he would know if he was going to battle, whether he ought to go to battle or not. And that put the trust in men and not in God. So as a result of that, God's going to punish him. And so Gad, the prophet, comes through and says, you've got three choices. Well, the choice ended up being a plague that lasted 3 days. And this plague killed 70,000 men. And so as a result of what David has done, there is a tremendous consequence. And this morning we want to come off of that and talk about these consequences. Let's talk about natural consequences. Natural consequences are like the law of gravity. You know, what goes up must come down. I was working on Friday on a ladder. I had this thing way up in a tree, and I climbed way up top of this ladder to try to get these bolts out. and my brother-in-law came and held the ladder for me. Well, I get shaky legs when I get up high like that. I've never had a hiking leg. It's worse than it used to be. But the thing is, I was taking this 4 by 4, 8 foot long, and it had two sides to it. And so I was trying to figure out how to take one side loose and the other side not swing over there and hit me when I took it loose. Because you see, if it hit me, I knew I was going to fall down. He never falls up. If the thing came and hit me, my consequence was going to be it's going to fall, probably on my head because that's how I land. But it's a law of nature. It's gravity. If you violate it, you fall off the ladder, bad things are going to happen. If you jump off the top of the roof, I never did that. I know some people did. If you jump off the roof, what's going to happen? You're going to go down every time. It's a natural law, and it always happens absolutely. Now, sometimes we saw those consequences in our normal everyday life. You ever had a child that would stay up late? I mean, step up a little bit later. You need to go to bed. No, I want to stay up and watch it. And when they stay up, what happens? Well, the next day, they don't want to get up. They get up grumpy. They're not attending to school, which probably is not much of a consequence of that in their eyes. But it's some of those things that just kind of naturally happens. I think as parents, one of the things we need to teach our children about consequences. There are consequences that are going to happen because of some things. When my children were small, one of the first lessons I taught them was hot. Hot. Well, they don't understand what hot is. Because if you touch a hot surface, you're going to get burned. That's an undesirable natural consequence. It'll happen every time. And therefore, teaching a child this kind of consequence. Now, there are natural consequences that come about because of our choices, because of our actions, that we need to understand, even though there's a consequence, God loves us and God will forgive us when these things happen in our life. For example, a young lady may get pregnant outside of marriage. God will forgive her completely. God loves her, and that is not something that God will not forgive. But she's still pregnant, and there's still a consequence for actions. If a young man gets drunk and goes out and drives a car, and he runs over someone and kills that person, God will forgive that. If that person is able in his heart to ask God's forgiveness, he repents for him, he realizes he's wrong, God will forgive him. Person is still living, he's probably still going to prison. For God to forgive, it does not take away the consequence involved. God forgives the guilt. We're guilty. We've done something. We've made a bad choice. And God forgives and removes the guilt so we're right with God. But in doing so, God most often does not remove the consequence that goes with it. People sometimes blame God for their consequences. God does not do bad things to us. God loves us. When something bad happens and people talk about, well, God did this, or God may have allowed things to happen because it's a natural consequence. When some things happen, there's a natural consequence that comes about as a result of it, and for us to blame God for it happening is illogical. Natural consequences, things that come about because of choices that are made, sometimes it's someone else's choice. Do you know that you make choices sometimes that have consequences that affect other people? That's true. And therefore, we can actually have consequences because of choice that was not our choice, but it was made by someone else. Some consequences have, some choices have unintended consequences. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, David made the choice to go out and walk on top of his house. That was not uncommon. The houses were made of a flat roof. And therefore, people would go up the steps and look. And they would sit and eat on top of their house or whatever. Now, we're told this is the time of year when men went to war. And all of Israel's gone to war. Why did David not go? I don't know. But he didn't. And instead, this particular day, he's walking up on his roof. I don't know if he already knew when he got up there, he could see this, what I believe is a public meeting place. But he went up there. And when he got there, there's this woman, Bathsheba. She is bathing. And he has committed no sin at this time. He could easily have walked away and forgot all about it and been fine. But he didn't, did he? He asked his men about, who is that? Well, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David called for her to come up, knowing she was the wife of David, of Uriah the Hittite. David made a very bad choice, a choice by the king of Israel. And he had her come up and he lied with her. And what were the consequences of that? He didn't know she was going to get pregnant, although he might could have known that. So she does get pregnant, and that presents a problem. Because her husband Uriah is out there fighting in battle. He's a valiant man. Well, in order to cover up his first choice, he makes a second choice. Bring Uriah home. He brings Uriah home and says, go see your wife. Uriah said, I'll do no such a thing. My brother and I are out there fighting. Should I come home and go to my wife? And so he slept outside. David's got a problem. Bathsheba's pregnant, everybody's going to know it's not Uriah. And there are people who knew that he brought her into his home, and therefore two and two is going to be David's guilty. And so when he couldn't get Uriah to go in, what he does is he sends a letter with Uriah, his death one in his own hand, delivered it. They said, David flew up on the front line and drove back from him, knowing that there would be stones thrown and he would be killed. David killed Uriah, just as much as he had taken his own hand and did it. And then he takes Bathsheba in to be his wife. When Bathsheba has a child, the child dies. What did David envision happening when he called Bathsheba into his house? He didn't believe she could pregnant, but she did. He didn't intend to kill your wife, but he did. He didn't intend to kill the baby, but he did. It was his choice. All these things came about as a result of the choice that he made. But in 2 Timothy 12, verse 10, listen to this. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me. Now make and taken the wife of your right, the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against your own house, from your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. He shall lie with your wives beside of the sun. You did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel. The person who took his wives up on top of the house so everyone could see was his own son absent. If you read the history of David, you'll see that the sword never departed from his house. His children followed among themselves. As a matter of fact, the time came when David wanted to build a temple for God. And what did God say? You can't do it, David, because you're a bloody man. Because the sword didn't depart from his house. David didn't intend to have adversity in his family. He didn't intend to have wars and all these terrible things happen. But they happened because of a single choice that he made. Sometimes we make choices that have consequences that we don't intend to happen, but it really doesn't change very much. Sometimes we speak words in anger, we get mad. When we say something, I've had people, I just can't help it. Well, there are consequences. Sometimes we say things that cost us our friends. Sometimes we say things that destroy the harmony in our marriage. Sometimes we say things that are vulgar, things that are wrong, and they have consequences. Words spoken in anger, instead of being like arrows shot from a bow. Once shot, they cannot be unshot. Once a thing is said, it cannot be recalled. We cannot draw it back. Sometimes we say something and we will lie to make it lighter. But it hurts just the same. When we wound people with our words, we have consequences that come about as a result of that. Now, maybe we didn't intend to make anybody mad. Maybe we didn't intend to hurt anyone's feelings. But when we use this kind of thing, it causes consequences. When we choose to do the wrong thing, it always has a consequence. Someone has said that sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Even though that might not have been known to you at the time, when you make those wrong choices, there's always some kind of consequence that comes along with it. But then there are some choices that have predetermined consequence. That is, as a parent says, if you do that again, I'm going to do this. Let me give you a side note here. It won't cost you anything extra. If you say, if you do that again, I want to do this, do things. Don't say it for the 10th time. Listen, I told you, if you do that, I'm gonna... When you do that, children know that you don't mean it. They don't believe the consequences come. And children being children will always test the border. How far can I go? And so next time you say that, it has no meaning with it. Because you've already shown you didn't mean it before. If you promise a consequence to your child, make sure they get the consequence that you promised would come with that. Adam and Eve ate a forbidden fruit. What did God say about that? God said, here are all these trees. You can have any tree, you want fruit, anything, except for that one tree right there. You can't eat of that tree. That's the forbidden fruit. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Did Adam and Eve die the day they ate that fruit? Well, no. They went on and had kids. Oh, yes, they did. You see, they were separated from God, described as dead. God put them out in the garden. In relation, God walked in the garden with them and talked with them, but not after this. It changed the relationship. And when they were put out of the garden, they no longer had access to the tree of life, and therefore, they began to die that very day that they were put out of the garden. Consequences. We're told in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, not to add to or take away from the words of this book. Same thing he said in the Old Testament. He said, if you do, the plagues in the book of life. He says, there are consequences for the choices we make concerning the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28, beginning verse 15, he said, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious, awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged plagues. They knew about the plagues in Egypt, didn't they? Because that happened to the Egyptians and not to them. But God says, if you don't do these things, there's going to be a consequence. There's going to be a result for that. Ezekiel 18 and 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither the son, the iniquity of the father, the soul of the sinner, it'll die. He said, when we make choices, others are not responsible for our choices. The father is not responsible for the sins, the choices made by the son, neither the son, the father, but there is a predetermined consequence for those who make the wrong kind of choice. So when we're in our life and we're choosing our life, consequences follow. They are a natural part of life. We choose, and here, we choose knowing the consequence. We choose knowing what's going to happen. What we've done is chose our consequence. This is especially true in the Bible. When you read the Word of God, there are consequences. If you do this, then this, if then. If this, then this. And that is determining our consequences. The kind of things that we are doing that have to be, I guess painful is not a very nice way to say that. It carries with its own type of consequences. But let's not give you an overly bleak picture. There are also good consequences. 1 John 1, verse 7, if you walk in the light, he's alive, have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. All of our sins are wiped away. Why? Because we chose that. We chose to do the right thing, to walk the light, to walk with our Lord. And because we do that, nothing is held against us. It's all forgiven. That's a good consequence, isn't it? Matter of fact, that's why we're here today. Because we believe in the good consequences. We believe in the promises of God. When God says, if you do this, this is the consequence. That we have a home in heaven. We have a place prepared for us because we make the right choices. So, choosing our consequences. It doesn't seem right, does it? We choose, and then the consequence follows. How do we choose a consequence? In 2 Samuel 24, beginning in verse 12 and 13, the prophet Gad came to David, and he said, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Famine, that means all your crops fail, you're not growing anything. 7 years of famine. Or, he says, shall you flee 3 months before your enemies? So for 3 months, you're going to lose every fight. And if you don't pick the fight, your enemy's going to go on you, you're going to be losing. So it's going to be a tremendous loss, and it's going to destroy all the nation. And then the third choice, of course, was there'll be 3 days of plague in the land. Those I can't choose. If they're accept on the mercy of God, and then the 3 days of plague of what they're seeing, just 70,000 people died. What if Lord David numbered the people? They probably came and said, David, if you number these people, you're going to have 3 choices. But it affected what David did, but it affected his choice at all. I think if we had the ability to see the consequence, to see when we're doing something, what the result is, we change our lives. I know there are people who have been unfaithful to their spouse. If they had just stopped and thought about what would be the result of this, what are the possible consequences, they would have done it. It's just not logical to choose all the terrible things that happen in life sometimes because of choices that we make. If we just knew that. But we do sometimes choose those consequences when we make choices. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I called heaven and earth to reckon against you. I've set before you life and death, he said. Therefore, choose life. Israel, choose life. You can choose. You're choosing the consequence. Make sure your actions match those consequences. When we do things that we know are wrong, we're choosing the consequence. Spiritually speaking, there's also a mental consequence. There's a thing called conscience, this thing called guilt. When we do things we know God disapproves of, they're wrong in the sight of God, it's supposed to make us feel bad. People tell me sometimes that all you ever preach about is love. That when people leave, everybody will just feel good and so nice. But listen, if you're in sin, y'all want to feel good. That's not my job. When we make the choice, mental consequences follow. We feel bad, we have guilt, our conscience bothers us. But if you continue in that, we get to the point where it doesn't bother us. As a matter of fact, we have some words to describe people. People who are able to do things and it not bother them at all, committing murder, committing all sorts of crime, and it not bother, they have no conscience. Those are dangerous people. God intends for you to have a conscience. God intends for you to feel something if you do something wrong. It's supposed to bother you. If we're normal people, when we do something that we know is wrong, it's supposed to bother us. God can take away that guilt, but that is a mental consequence of making bad choices. There are also physical consequences. Sin sometimes will produce things that are bad in our life, and these physical consequences make our life worse, but it's because we chose to live that kind of life. Because we chose to do certain things, if something will bring about hardship, lasting consequences, life filled with difficulty because of choices that are made. But of course, I'll close the sermon with spiritual consequences, which are the ones that matter. We can endure our physical consequences. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it brings long days. But knowing the right side of God, knowing there's eternal hope, and knowing this one, God's promised you eternal life, that the days on earth are going to be short, they're not going to be long, and some days when this life is over, there's something so much better to endure the physical, the mental consequence of having done something that is wrong. But the consequence that really matters is the one that starts after this life is over. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, our sins and iniquities will separate us from God. But if that separation, something happens in this life, we can make that right with God. We can come to Him, confess our sins. He is judge here, forgive us our sins, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He loves us. He wants to forgive us. But if we don't make that right, and that sin goes with us into eternity, there is an eternal consequence. Don't we have a hard time with the word eternal? How long is eternity? I can't say. I can't fathom it. When I say that God is the same from yesterday, today, and forever, I understand who God was yesterday. We read the Old Testament and learn about God. When I talk about God today, I can talk about the New Testament. Talk about how God deals. Talk about forever. There are people who say there's no such place as hell because a loving God could never condemn someone to something that never ends. That's not the way my Bible reads. Therefore, there are eternal consequences to the choice that we make today. God has purchased our forgiveness with the blood of His Son. He desires for us to be saved, and all that He can to see if we will be saved. It's up to us to make the right kind of choices. It's been said that the gate of history turns on small ends, and so do people's lives. Our life can be so different based on the choices that we make. Choosing our mate, choosing our occupation, choosing just little things in life determines the kind of life that we're going to have and what we're going to live. Joshua 24 and 15, Joshua said, choose you this day who you'll serve. You don't go back to the gods of Egypt, but when you'll serve the Lord God, choose right, choose God. Choose to serve Him. And in our life this morning, we too make choices. Being fully aware of consequences, we make the right kind of choice. You know, nothing we do changes the past. There may have been some difficulties in your past. You may have made some bad decisions. I have. I made some decisions in the past that I'm not very proud of. I can't change them. I can't change the choice I made. I can't change the deed I did. I can't go back there and make it right. Neither can I change some of the consequences of some of the choices that I made. But what I can do, I can choose my future. I can choose where I'm going from this day forward. I bid you this morning to choose life. I bid you this morning to choose being the child of God, not a child of God, who is taking care of this morning. You can obey the gospel of Christ, confess the name of Christ, He's our Savior, your brethren, and the best. Rise, walk in newness of life. As a child of God, you walk in darkness, you've chosen the wrong path this morning, you can turn around and choose to do right. You can't change the past. But you can change, choose the future. Choose this morning, Father's Day, and say, choose right. Choose eternal life.